Welcome, friends, to today's broadcast.
Today we shall be concluding the topic we commenced last week.
What does it mean to be fruitful? What does it mean to be fruitful? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we bless you for yet another opportunity to bring your word to your people. And I pray, O God, our Father, that in this teaching, you will motivate your people to aspire to a life of spiritual fruitfulness that will glorify you. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. We'll be reading from Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Recall that we said that we can see fruitfulness in two ways. One way is to bear fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Fruit, therefore, refers to good deeds, good character. Good deeds depict the character, the attributes of God. Titus chapter 3, verse 14 says, and let us also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. When these things are not there, you are unfruitful. When there is no love, when there is no joy, when there is no peace, when there is no patience, kindness, the person is unfruitful. We said that winning souls is also fruitfulness. We can also see fruitfulness in terms of ministry, especially our evangelistic efforts. Philippians chapter 1, verse 22. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet, what shall I choose? I do not know. How to be fruitful? Allow God to prune you. God prunes us so that we can bear more fruit. In John chapter 15, verse 1, the Bible says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Verse 2, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Why every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. So pruning is the removal of parts of plants, usually branches or branch tips, to relieve the burden on the remaining parts of the plant, to cut out diseased or broken parts, to increase the quantity and quality of flowers or fruits. Removing unproductive parts of our lifestyle will be similar to pruning. When Jesus prunes us, he cuts off parts of our lifestyle that saps away our attention or energy that can be better channeled to bearing fruits for him. Number 3 is remain in Jesus or abide in Jesus. John chapter 15 verse 4, remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Verse 5, I am the true vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Verse 6, if anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. So we are told many times that if we want to be fruitful, we have to remain in Jesus. What does it mean to remain in Jesus?
So this is the second part of this message.
Number 1, spending time with God. When Jesus was on earth, no matter how busy he was, he always set aside time to be with his Father. We may think that we are too busy in the ministry to engage in less productive activities like spending time with God. Why is spending time with God so important? If we do not spend time with God, we will soon lose the passion, the zeal that we need to go on with. And gradually we'll stop serving God altogether. So let me ask a question. Are you taking time to spend with God every day? Do you find time to spend with God every day? The next thing that shows that you are remaining in Jesus is to advance your personal holiness. Your personal holiness, your sanctification. John chapter 15 verse 7 says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. Remaining in him is more than just spending time praising him and praying to him. The verse above tells us that it also involves his word remaining in us. We have to know his word, and this word has to remain or make an impact in our lives. It is not just in through one or go in through one ear and live through the other one. 1 John chapter 3 verse 24 says, those who obey his commands live in him and he in them. Do you have a regular time of reading God's word? And is the word making an impact in your life? Is your lifestyle controlled and modeled by the word of God? Have you been making changes to your life on the basis of what you read in the Bible? Or is it all head knowledge? Personal holiness is so important in winning souls, because if we have a bad character, people will look at us and do not want to be like us. They do not want to be Christians. In John chapter 15 verse 9, says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. Remain in my love. Verse 10 says, if you obey my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. Finally, remaining in him also means remaining in his love. When we remain in his love, he blesses our tasks and we become fruitful. We remain in his love by obeying his commandments. So, have you been allowing God to correct your life? Do you have a regular time of confession and making your life right before God? 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 21. And of course, this forms the basis of our ministry. If a man cleanses himself from the latter, he will be an instrument for noble purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to any good work. Do you know one thing? That the process, the destiny of God for any man is one salvation. God wants that person to be saved. The next stage is to be sanctified. So sanctification makes him to be like Christ. He sets him apart as he sets himself apart. And then the third stage is service. You begin to serve God. So salvation, sanctification, and service. But in our time, we alter it. We alter this process or procedure, and it does not work. Sometimes you get salvation, you proceed to service. You are not pursuing sanctification. And of course, the service you render will be wasted. It will not receive any reward, because it will be like, depart from me, you that walk but sin, live in sin. You do good, but you live in sin. As we bring this message to a close, I want you to ask God to show you his strategy. Jesus says, you are my friends if you do what I command. That's John chapter 15 verse 14. In verse 15, he says, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Radio friends, we are not servants who carry out tasks without knowing what the master has in mind. Jesus considers us his friends, and he wants us to make known his Father's strategy. God wants to show us his strategy and how we can be more effective in winning souls for him. And as I close, I want to ask you, have you ever asked God to give you souls? Ask God to give you souls. Give you souls so that you'll be fruitful. You'll be a soul winner, being fruitful. In John chapter 15, verse 16, he said, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, and that the fruit will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. We did not choose ourselves. God has chosen us and appointed us to go and bear fruit, that our fruit will remain. It seems to state the obvious. If you want more fruit, ask for it. Many of us do not have fruit because we simply do not ask. Jesus says that if we ask anything in his name, we will receive it. Asking in his name means asking according to his will and using the authority of his name. We ask for car. We ask for children. We ask for this and ask for that. We do not ask for souls. Fruit. I pray that today you'll be motivated to ask God to give you fruit. John Knox of the Presbyterian knelt down and asked God, give me Scotland. Was he asking for political position? No, he was asking for souls. The whole of Scotland. And of course, God answered him. Hear what the Bible says in Psalm 2:8. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. Do you want your city? Do you want your family? Do you want your office to come to know Jesus? The people you work with in your office? Do you want the people, your neighbors in the market, to know Jesus? Then ask for it. Ask for it. Do you want your students to know Jesus? Ask for it. Ask God to give you the life of your students as fruit. That is the desire of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, since it is your will to make us fruitful, I pray, mighty Father, that you will motivate my hearers, especially those who have received salvation and are sanctified by the word of God, that they will move on to the steps of being fruitful. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen.